the following. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Love and faithfulness. What a great combination of concepts to describe God's attitude towards us. Today I will share with you a couple of facts that caught my attention many years ago when I began reading and actually studying the Bible. Both facts refer to God's nature and His attributes. Now, the first has to do with the question of why are we able to call God Abba, Father, as His children? And the second refers to how and what is that God considers sin? Or how does God react to sin? Okay? Let's see. Technology is failing. God doesn't fail, but technology does sometimes. Okay. Ah, there we go. It was the other one. Okay. That's the problem of having two controls. Sorry about that. Okay, good. Yeah. We're in business now. Now, the first fact can be related to God's goodness, and the second to God's wrath. Okay? And what I feel in my heart is to share with you the idea that both of these facts are actually inseparable reflections of or consequences of two of God's, if you will, salient attributes, which are love and faithfulness. Let us remember that God's attributes are distinctive characteristics of His nature, some of which are the following: eternal, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutable, holy, loving, God is love, right? Faithful, just, and merciful. Okay, now, oops, something's wrong here. It was this one. It was, then came the third one. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was this one. Yeah, there it is. Sorry. I believe that you would agree with me in saying that God is an infinite and supreme being that flawlessly manifests Himself to humankind, I mean to us. Now, the meaning of flawless is being without flaw or imperfection. Therefore, when I say flawlessly, I here refer to the fact that in speaking, listening, or acting, God does not leave out either of His attributes. You see where I'm going? What I'm saying is that God cannot react to the same situation in different fashions. And so, what are the consequences of the above statement? God works in one's life in different ways, but He always uses His word to convey the same idea, which is revealing His plan and how it has unfolded. And here are the premises of the basic tenet or principle, which is in the middle of God's plan. Number one, God loves us. We know that. God hates sin. God holds distinctive attributes. It is by God's grace that we are seen as His children. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. We wait for the second coming of Jesus, for that parousia, that triumphant return, right? And salvation is a gift for eternity, okay? We're never going to lose that one, right? Now, as a result, the fruit of the Spirit is in us, not only declared with a promise in Galatians 5:22-23, and I will underline the last part, which is the promise part of this text. This is what we read in Galatians 5, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And I chose to pick the New Living Translation because I really like the way it expresses these verses. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. This pleases God, and therefore our spirit longs for God's warmth. Only so can we approach God in prayer with absolute certainty that our prayers will be taken into consideration. Notice what I'm saying. I'm not saying that He will please us in our prayer. That's up to Him. But our task is to come to the Lord with love, ultimately, with sincere repentance of what we have done. So I can conclude that God does hear our prayers. And this is how it's expressed in Psalm 143, verse 1. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Right? I believe that God can change us and be sorry for us when He hears our sincere prayers. The best example is that He decided to provide a definite means to forgive sin, and thus He, the Word, became flesh. And in doing so, He was also providing for the ultimate test for us. We have to make a choice. In Old Testament times, He acted after hearing and seeing His chosen people praying in repentance. We now can choose Jesus. We must never forget that God hates sin, but He loves us, and that Christ is a definite means for us to reconcile with Him. This is what is read in Romans 5:9. Having now been justified this is Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him, through Jesus. Moreover, because of God's faithfulness, we know that we can trust that this will not change. In the Old Testament, in Malachi 3:6 declares the following: I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, this is us, are not destroyed. That's declared in Malachi. Now, whereas in the New Testament, James 1:17 puts it this way: every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Okay, same thing, same idea. Now, what we read in the Bible tells us that the only manifestation of a change in God's mind is when it comes to His relationship with His chosen ones in the Old Testament, and with the fraction of humankind that has decided to believe in Jesus. Listen to what it is written in Romans 5, verses 6 through 11, or in that portion of the Bible. And I think this is fundamental. I think this is the key to what I'm trying to convey today. We who were once his enemies are now, by the grace of Christ, his friends. We were enemies, we're separated, now we're one. Amen. God, through Christ, right? Sorry about that. Now, did we willingly change our attitude so that we can now be called God's friends? Given grace, given that we know that grace is there, it's a gift, it's God's faithfulness at work, I can say yes, we are given the opportunity to choose. In other words, God provided the means to this by his grace, but he did not take away or free will in this respect. We, again, have to make a choice. We have to decide. We need to pray in repentance so that we can be forgiven and accepted once again as children of God. Will this be forever? Can we expect Jesus to be there for us always? Yes. As it is written in the book of Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, once we have grasped this, we can do as the psalmist says. This is Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Amen.
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 Please stand and turn.